take my love, take it down. Climb a mountain and turn around. And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, where the landslide bring you down. And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, where the landslide bring you down.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallusa Nation.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Katagito, all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we got an interesting show today, and we're talking to Doherty College, and we're going to get the skinny on that, but I'm excited about that. And but before we do that, I just want to jump in before we talk about the word of the day, Chujunk. Is I have been spying on the show North by North. Have you checked that out? Or North of North?
North of North.
Yeah.
I have been seeing it all over my timelines and social media. Everyone's checking that out on Netflix. Unfortunately, I had to cut Netflix from my streaming.
Oh, it's like cutting the cord.
I had to, yeah.
Well, you have to come over and watch it. Everybody check it out. It's really funny. It kind of gives me Inuit, which the people used to call the Eskimos, are in the deep north of Canada with a comedy show that's almost like Reservation Dogs. It's hilarious. So check it out if you do have that. And I've had a lot of fun watching that. And also a really freaky show that Rihanna writes on. And that was really freaky this weekend, too. So that show, I can't think of the name of it right now, but Dark Winds.
There you go.
I just wanted to see if you knew. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, you're talking about North and North. Yeah, that's based in Alaska. We definitely do not call them Eskimos.
Right.
Repeat that. But yeah, did you get through that whole show already?
No. It's about 25 minutes per episode, so I'm on like 4 or 5. It's hilarious and it's well written, and it's a vibe of Native Americans for sure. I mean, it's the only difference is that they're wearing fuzzy hats and it's cold and snows everywhere, but it's definitely a Native American show.
Who is like the main character? What's the name? I looked up some notes here. Siaja?
Yeah. And she's jamming. It's hilarious, and we can talk about the premise another day because there's other things too to talk about. But I just thought, wow, check it out if you have Netflix.
Yeah. So I guess it follows a young mother who dreams of reinventing herself in a tiny Arctic community of Ice Grove. A good sitcom. Check that out, North and North.
Yeah. I'm just laughing, thinking about it. Well, before I pick Wendy up at the airport, I got to sneak in an episode and clean the house at the same time. So, hey, a lot going on here, too. The Minnesota Child Tax Credit, we have to talk about that because some people wait until the last day before tax day, Haley.
Yeah, tax day is tomorrow, which is a great reminder. If you're a procrastinator, it's definitely a Monday, like myself, definitely a good reminder to get those taxes done. This is something we talked about a little bit, Minnesota's child tax credit. Mm-hmm. That child tax credit is specific to Minnesota. That maximum tax credit is $1,750 per child under the age of 18 with no limit of the number of children claimed. So if you have like six kids, you can claim all your kids in those taxes. Yeah. And this is money that's going to go right back into your family's pocket.
Yeah.
Look that up when you're doing taxes. You could find that on the Department of Revenue, I think. But yeah, the child tax credit.
Hey, good call. And then we had the Metropolitan Council, Met Council, on and talking about a few things like the housing voucher, the Section 8 waiting list that's coming open. It hasn't been open since June of 2022. And there's, the seven county area here in the Twin Cities, they set aside 10% of the spots on the waiting list for just Native American households. So for more information, I think they would just have to check out the Met Council. Oh, no, you have it right there. Ho-wah.
Yeah, so Met Council, this is covering the whole seven county area, Anoka, Carver, Dakota, Hennepin, Ramsey, Scott, and Washington counties. This is for Section 8 housing, the Metro HRA. It's that lottery to get on the wait list. So it is still a process to get that housing voucher. But like Robert said, that wait list hasn't been open since June of 2022. So it's definitely a big deal. 10% of those spots are set aside for Native households, and the direct link that you can go to get signed to like log in and make an account and then apply for this is waitlistcheck.com/Metro.
Good one, Chujunk. Hey, before we get too carried away with, some news here, would really love to, talk to you about a word of the day. In okay. Ho-Chunk, what do you think?
Ooh, yeah, we could start out the week with that.
Right on.
Well, what did we do last week? I think we were going through the clans still. Ho-Chunk Nation has 12 clans. Mm-hmm. Robert and I, Ho-Chunk. And yeah, I've been using the Ho-Chunk mobile dictionary app. So just a big peanut geeky wee to everyone who has contributed to that and putting the language in there. I think last week we talked about Hawk.
Yeah.
Hawk clan, which the hawk represents our warrior clan, and that was Keraju. Keraju, it's spelled K-E-R-E-J-U. And going on down with the animals, I was going with the pigeon today.
Mm.
Yeah, we have a pigeon clan, and Ho-Chunk's pigeon clan is kind of responsible for supplying Ho-Chunk soldiers for warfare, and also the pigeon clan possesses other important political and societal functions.
Mm.
And that Ho-Chunk word for pigeon is Ruchke.
Ruchke. Wow.
Yeah, it's spelled R-U-U-C-J-E.
Yeah.
And in that Ho-Chunk mobile dictionary app, I love it because they have voices of a male and female elder pronouncing the word. So you can kind of get different pronunciations in there. It helps a lot.
Yeah. We, my uncle and your uncle too, Uncle Curtis, we always used to, there was an older app and it was like, hey, Kudagi Choka. And she sounded like Choka. It was really kind of cute. Yeah. So whenever we'd see each other, we'd say Choka. Aww. But I like both the languages or both the elder sexes speaking that. And then, I just have to really bring back Arvina's favorite word. And I know it's not a clan. Yeah. I know it's not a clan. Might have been thousands of years ago, but it's not a clan now. But, what is bogake or
bogake.
Yeah.
Really emphasize on that. Bogake.
Yeah.
Bogake.
Yeah. I loved how like you guys said that. It sounded like a chicken. Yeah.
It's what the chicken says. Bogake.
Yeah. Bogake. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We'll bring that up again when we have her on this Wednesday.
Yeah. Maybe we had seen that she might not listen to every show we have. Maybe we can trick her into doing that word again. Ho-wah.
Yeah, she'll definitely remember that one. I want to give a shout out to Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic. Dr. Stately's in Ireland still.
Yes.
I was talking to him a little bit today, and we'll have him back next Monday. So looking forward to hearing his travel stories.
Yeah, the big thing happening at Native American Community Clinic coming up.
Yeah, that's that's this Friday, isn't it? This coming Friday, they have their groundbreaking thing. What the top? Is it the top of the clinic? Are they adding on to it, or is it a whole separate building?
It's a whole separate building, and it's where the clinic is, and they're building in the parking lot. So they'll still have it, but the parking lot will be no more. It'll be a big building.
Yeah, no more room for the giant inflatable colon to fill up the parking lot and inform us about colon cancer.
You know, we have to do a t-shirt, Haley. And,
hey, design one for NAC.
Yes.
Good information on colon cancer.
Yeah, especially someone my age. Oh, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we got Doherty College up next. We got the dean, Dr. Buffy Smith, and we're going to talk some great information coming up, and this is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we have our guest, Dr. Buffy Smith, Dean of Doherty Family College of St. Thomas, and Manny Vasquez, Turtle Mountain Ojibwe, and he's a student at Doherty Family College, and we're going to get right into it. It's great to see you again, Doctor. Can you hear us?
Good to be seen, sir. Thank you.
You scared me for a minute there. I thought it was going to be a silent movie for a second. Oh, wow.
I hope not. How have you been, Dr. Smith? Great to see you.
I've been well. I'm so thrilled to be here with Manny.
Well, right on. Appreciate it. So we had you on the show last May and with Cheyenne. So it's great to see you again. And how have you been? And how's Doherty doing?
I'm doing well. Our scholars are doing well. For our graduating sophomores like Manny, they're super charged and excited to enter the second stage of their academic career in terms of preparing for their bachelor's degree. Yeah, we're just excited. It's always, I feel this time of the year is a little bittersweet. I'm happy for the scholars that are graduating, but it's a little sadness too in my heart to see them launch into their next phase of life.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, I hear you. Tell us a little bit about Doherty Family College and what your role is, Dr. Smith.
I always say, sir, you're an educator. I have the best job in the world. All I have to really do is promote our amazing scholars like Manny and our faculty and staff. We're mission-driven, and our mission is to make sure that we can graduate as many scholars as possible, first earn their associate degree, but also prepare them to earn their bachelor's degree. So we are an associate degree program. We are the two-year college of the University of St. Thomas. And we provide our scholars with a culturally affirming, rich, rigorous academic background that will prepare them to earn their bachelor's degree.
Yeah, we also have a DFC student joining us today, and Manny Vasquez, Pinigigi, and thank you for coming on and sharing your experience. Manny, can you tell us a little about yourself so our listeners can, and what nation you're with, and your experience? Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me. Yeah, my name is Manny Vasquez. I come from Ojibwe descent with my family residing in the Turtle Mountain Reservation in North Dakota. Also Mexican descent, with that indigenous through and through. And yeah, I'm a student at DFC. I'm on my second year, graduating in this couple months. Very excited. I mean, DFC's been very great for me. The cohort system and the way the faculty really like treats you in the curriculum has been really amazing. Has put me through a lot so far.
That's awesome. Hey, as a first generation college student, did you have any hesitations about continuing higher education after high school, Manny?
Oh, I definitely did. Going into high school, the COVID hit my freshman year, and that really like set the foundation of my high school like career, and just seeing how that went through, and it affected my mindset how I viewed higher education, as well as no one in my family has really had experience with it, so it was new ground. Yeah, it really, at first I was a little hesitant, but then I've been an AVID through 6th and 12th grade, and AVID is a program that really helps you like develop college skills and gets you like knowledge on those, on what like the whole college process is about, and that really helped me set my mind on higher education. And DFC actually came into my AVID class and really like introduced themselves to us, and that's where I got my head straight, and I was like, yeah, DFC is right for me.
That's awesome. So that kind of led you to choosing Doherty. Was there a visit?
Yeah, it did. I was hesitant throughout most of my high school if I was going to go into higher education. But once DFC visited my high school and really showed us the benefits, and like free laptop, free books, free transportation through the buses, tuition was really cheap. The cohort system, the AVID was also based on a cohort system, so pursuing that through higher education was really a big, big highlight for me.
Wow. Hey, Dr. Smith, what was your first impression of Manny when you first met him?
Just a very inquisitive young scholar, along with his sister. I remember both of them. And I knew that they wanted to be engaged. I knew that they were going to be academically ready for the rigor of Doherty Family College. But I also knew that they had a heart for community. And we're always looking for scholars that also are servant leaders. Because I remember this, and tell me if you remember this, Manny, but you and your sister wanted to know, like, oh, what are some clubs and organizations on campus that would honor and affirm our heritage? And right there, when I hear those type of questions, I know that this is a scholar who is going to give back to the university, and that he's already engaged in his community. And so I was impressed with both Manny and his sister.
Manny, were you going to answer that question? Or I'll give you another one here. What surprised you the most when you started classes and attending DFC?
What really surprised me was just like the whole community aspect of it. Right before you start your freshman program, you go through SEP, which is a summer enrichment program in which you like meet your cohort for the first time before classes actually start, and you get connected with a youth mentor, which was at the time a second year in the program, which had already got the knowledge and really like the experience throughout the program, and to give it to the first year students. And that really surprised me and really like built my excitement for DFC, seeing that they already wanted to establish a strong community aspect and like to get all the students familiar with each other before you even like started the curriculum and started the classes.
That's really exciting. Dr. Smith, how many Native American identifying students have you mentored and helped at Doherty Family College?
That's an excellent question, sir. Not enough. Not enough. We usually have between two and three Native American scholars each year. So not enough. Not enough.
Well, it's exciting. And Haley, you've been in college recently. Well, no, not that recently. You are getting old. Sorry. But what is your feeling? I think this is like old days of junior college.
I think so. I think, like, if I would have known about Doherty Family College, so this was my college experience. I went to a pretty big high school, a large graduating class, and then I went to UMD for my freshman year, kind of with an idea of just to get generals done. And UMD is part of the University of Minnesota. It's still a lot tuition-wise. And just going to that school for a year to do some generals was a lot of money. And I ended up even transferring back to the Twin Cities. So if I had known about Doherty Family College, that would have been such a great resource to go and get the college experience before a larger university feel. So this kind of goes into a question. What is, like, the average class size in a course at Doherty Family College? Either one of you could answer that.
Good question.
I would say our first year classes tend to be a little larger. So I would between 25 and 30. Remember, our targeted goal is always close to 150 scholars each year. Then for our second year classes, there are maybe between, say, 15 to 20 scholars in the cohort. Manny, is that your experience?
Yes, I have. Yeah, so it relatively, my class size was about 30 first year, and right now it's about like 15.
Very cool. So how do we get a hold of you? I think that's a thing I want to mention a couple times during this interview is how do we get a hold of you guys?
Certainly, I would say to go to our website, dfc.stthomas.edu. If you go to the website, that's where you can sign up for informational session and come and tour Doherty Family College. I always think that the best way to really experience Doherty Family College is to be on campus and to meet phenomenal scholars like Manny. And so that's where I would invite everyone to please go to our website and sign up for an admissions tour. And I usually, if my schedule permits, try to give a welcome. And so I love meeting scholars and their families. But that would probably be the best way to reach out to us.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Buffy Smith, and we have a young student here, Manny Vasquez, and we are talking about Doherty Family College and the two-year program. We're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Programming is supported by the Bell Museum, where you can experience world-renowned wildlife dioramas, visit the Hands-On Touch and See Lab, and tour the cosmos in the Whitney and Elizabeth McMillan Planetarium. More information at bellmuseum.umn.edu.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in that first 1,000 days of life, and small moments of interaction like talking, playing, reading, and singing help create the pathways that build a child's brain during these early stages of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
I really love singing to our grandbabies and making special noises to make them smile. Hey, we're here with Doreen Lanoue with All Nations Rise, family, friend, and neighbor coordinator, FFN coordinator. Great to see you. And this is just a beautiful, beautiful information that you have. And one of the things I'd like to ask you is, what are some of the ways FFN can incorporate singing, playing, and reading with young children, making it fun for both the children and the caregivers? What are some of the ways?
So we, singing, playing, and reading, we all know, offers numerous benefits for young children. It supports their overall development in a fun and engaging way. If we can teach FFNs how to do that or the tools and resources they need to be able to do more organizational scheduled things throughout the day with their children. They'll definitely learn more by playing and singing and reading and be ready for school much sooner than some other kids who don't have those activities. So, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's so important to connect those brain muscles in that coordination of singing and hearing stories and just the inflection of your voice.
Yeah, when they do that, they enhance problem-solving skills. That helps their social skills. It helps motor skills, all kinds of things to prepare for school.
Well, how does the FFN program address the cultural needs of these Indigenous children and families?
So we do provide services, as I mentioned, those boxes, and the boxes that we send to their door that are free do include cultural kits, cultural items, games, toys, books. For example, through Nashke Games, which many people know is an award-winning company that specializes in Anishinaabe cultural language-based games. And we have been able to purchase box sets to give out to every one of our Ojibwe FFN and those who have Ojibwe children in their care. So that's been a wonderful resource we were able to give. And we plan to continue researching and finding new items all the time to send to our FFNs as cultural and language needs. And that helps regenerate the language in a small way, but in a very good way.
Yeah, we've talked about boxes. I don't know if they're the similar boxes or the same boxes, but wow, I think everybody in the tribe could use one of those boxes. Right. Really, I know I could. I need an adult one sent to my house, Haley.
I know, all ages, really.
Exactly, but that's beautiful, and I can feel the positivity come through to the internet here, that it really is a really great thing for these people to get, like almost like a present when they get these boxes from you, and it has all these goodies in there that gets you excited and gets you to be able to guide these learners and young ones in a good way. Can you discuss the process of becoming legally non-licensed or licensed for FFN as a caregiver, and why is this important?
I can do it really quickly. The difference between non-licensed and legally non-licensed is the fact that they will have to do a background check. Everyone mm-hmm. over the age of 16 has to do a background check in their home, and they also have training requirements. And once you are legally non-licensed, you can receive Child Care Assistance Program payments. So this is helpful to a family if they can't afford child care to be able to get an FFN ready to do that. So we try to we assist our FFNs with becoming legally non-licensed or licensed if they choose to, but that's their choice. And we help them in the process and advocate for them in that process.
Wow, that's really cool. Were you going to say something, Haley?
Oh, I was just going to say that's awesome. And thanks for helping them with that process and leaving it up to them to make that decision is really cool, too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So can you discuss the program and how other FFNs connect and network with one another? And we know it's really important, but could you even amplify on how important that is?
Sure. Then again, we provide in-person and online socializations and networking events. We do we offer trainings in those networking events and craft projects and, like I said, field trips. And we encourage participation in all these activities because it's valuable, so they're not alone and they can get support from each other and help they need on day-to-day issues, both from such as issues with child behavior, for example, that they mm-hmm. might be experiencing. They can help each other with those things and give suggestions, and they can connect, share experiences, and accessed support from us as well.
That's amazing, and that's important no matter what you're doing, to have that support and people going through the same thing that you are. And, you know, you just need that support sometimes, and you got to make sure that you're not on an island and that you're doing things good. And 9 times out of 10, you are trusting your gut and you are doing good things, following this and following your instincts and stuff. But you need that sometimes to verify that you are doing it in a good way.
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks, Haley.
Welcome. Well, I was just thinking too, like even coordinating with other families or other caregivers going through the program, it not only benefits the adults, but also connecting with those families. You could, if they have kids the same age, you could introduce them to each other and, you know, just build connections that way with Indigenous families and people who have the same culture as you. I think that's a cool way to build friendships as well.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. So I guess what I would like to end this with here is to find out how people are considering maybe becoming a FFN caregiver. How can they get involved with All Nations Rise, and how can is there a website? How can we reach out? Our listeners reach out and either support this or become a FFN person.
Yeah, we do have a website to get involved. You can go to allnationsrise.com and then go to the FFN page. You'll see a link to that, and then they can select register for the FFN network. Or they can call me. My number's on the website, or other staff to help them in completing the registration. It is an online survey which asks them your contact information, their tribal affiliation or that of the children, what hours they provide care, how long they've been providing care as an FFN, what resources are important to them that we may offer or maybe that we don't offer. And then their best way to contact them is in the survey as well, if they want to be contacted by phone or email or a text. And then once they become a member of the network by completing that survey, we will let them know what their next steps are. They are automatically eligible for those learning kits. And all of the information on the website, we do list resources that we've used or given out in the past so that they can see what we've done and what information might help them right away. And then we request that they complete that online 7-module training, which includes all of those areas that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and a cultural module as well. And then once they complete that training, which is not real long, they can qualify to apply for that $1,200 mini grant that I described.
Yes. So that's open anytime. There's no set dates. If somebody's interested now, they can jump on and start that process right away.
Yes. Yep. It's an ongoing application mini grant. There's no deadline date. It goes throughout the year, just as funding allows. But we have plenty of funding right now. So we are out doing outreach constantly for more FFN providers to become members.
Wow. We're here with Doreen Lanoux with All Nations Rise, family, friend, and neighbor coordinator, FFN coordinator. And again, allnationsrise.com for more information. I just want to say you are doing such good work for our community to keep it stronger, to also keep our keep who we are alive. And that's what we talk about here, and it's so important, and your work's so important. And I just want to say a really big peeny geegy for coming on and doing all this great work.
Thank you so much. I enjoy it very much.
Right on. Well, we'll have to get you on again, and we love those boxes. We need a Ho-Chunk box sent to us somehow. Oh.
Say hi to Barb and Beth Ann for us. Thanks, Doreen. Peeny geegy.
I will. Thank you.
Right on. Great job. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and up next, Arvina Martin, and we'll be talking about what's going on politically across the globe. This is Native Roots Radio. Kaya,
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Minneapolis Twin Cities. Robert, you can always tell when you have a good coworker or producer, when they see you struggling and they jump right in there. Ho, wah.
Ah, right. Your sneezing attack. It's allergy season. I thought you were pretty good not to sneeze right into the microphone.
Oh, I got this sneeze button right here, and I use it because I sneeze.
Often,
yeah. Well, this big honking nose is getting a lot of impurities up from all over, so... yeah, often is right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about decolonizing the workspace again. Finish up on that thought, because to me that's an amazing thing that you've brought to the table with your work area and the people work with you. I just love this story.
Well, thanks, Miigwech, for asking. And, you know, I often like to think of indigenizing rather than decolonizing, because I would rather put it into our own framework. And like a lot of Native organizations, tribes, others, you know, we've been working at NACD to indigenize our workplace to the greatest extent for a while here, and with some success. And, you know, some of the things are fairly simple or maybe obvious. For example, rather than a hierarchical structure, we have a circular structure, right? And then that expands out. It's community at the center, and then sort of NACD and their programs and our partners and things. And things like that we did early on. But I will tell you, during COVID, I was able to spend some really quality time with a local elder, a wisdom keeper, herbalist named Linda Eagle Speaker. And we had this wonderful one-on-one coaching time through COVID over Zoom, of course. And Linda walked me through this really incredibly intense curriculum that she and some of the other, most or all women, I think, cultural caregivers use to promote indigenized organizational health. Nationally, they've done this work. And so I learned incredible lessons from Linda Eagle Speaker about how to indigenize our operations, indigenize my leadership within the organization and the community. And it's been enlightening. And I would say the center of what Linda taught me, the core of it, and what's had just transformational impact on our organization is an indigenous perspective and way of caring for ourselves first, our families second, and then our community third, or the organization third, the rest of the tribe. And as Linda was teaching me this, I would really push back against it. And I'd say, Linda, we're indigenous. We care for the whole, you know, that's our whole thing. And she would just repeat to me like I was a little kid, actually. And she'd say, Robert, that's the colonizer way. The indigenous way is care for yourself first, then your family, and then your community. And I finally got to the point where I said, okay, I'm just going to believe her. I'm not going to resist this anymore. I don't really have proof, but I trust my elders and I'm going to believe her. So I started operating in that way. And I'll tell you, Robert and Haley, in a very short time, I just saw the transformational impact it had on me and my work and my ability to sort of produce or whatever, to engage. So we taught it to the rest of our staff, and they resisted at first, because it's just not how we're programmed these days. We're conditioned, but over time, people started to do it, believe it. You know, we started to put policies in place that made that easier. Very permissive PTO, personal time off policy, for example. You know, adjusted salaries so that people are making enough to live on, things like that. But it's the central belief that people care for themselves first. And so when workers at NACD show up, whether it's in the office, in community, working wherever they're working from, they know they're cared for, their families are cared for, and they can give 500% to their work mm-hmm. that day. And it has been transformational. I'm surprised more, not just nonprofits, but more businesses don't operate with this approach, but it's been very satisfying.
And it's great to hear, and I like to talk about it every once in a while because maybe it'll shake up a few people that are listening to the show too. And if things aren't working the way things are going on, maybe that's a place to look at and reach out to Robert Lilligren and Kendall Eagle, a speaker too, about talking about that. I love that.
Yeah, and a lot of folks are doing stuff like this, but it's just, you know, it's always kind of balancing history, tradition, and then with contemporary and future. And I feel like we've really found a good spot at NACD. I mean, we're contemporary Indians. Well, pretty much at NACD, all contemporary urban Indians, right? And so so how do we express that? It's really an enjoyable part of my work.
Yeah, that's just awesome. And I know Haley does, and I stop in the office, and the vibe's always there and always opening, and people mm-hmm. are busy and happy.
Yeah. And as you guys know, our office is tiny. We have 12 people working in one small space. We have our All My Relations Arts Gallery right next door. Rory Wakemup's incredible show there now. But we also have a back gallery. You can separate out. That usually gets incorporated with the larger gallery shows. But we've had the use of that during mm-hmm. Rory's show, which has just been like luxury for us. We can, you know, meet with 10 people at a time or something. But it's a pretty humble place. That's my point. But people love being there, not just you guys, you know, in this back gallery. Now everybody wants to have meetings there. It's this closed off little space, but there is just a very good vibe within our organization. It's like home. Thanks. I love that. It is like home.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into the segment part where Wendy always says, ask Robert what he wants to talk about, I wanted to ask you this one more thing too. You know, it just blows my mind. I'm talking about the women that went up in space and Katy Perry just speaking for everyone, and just blows my mind. It cost them each $28 million to do that. And what good work could be done with that money?
Right, right. Well, and it was just for a few minutes, right? I mean, if you have $28 million, and that's what you're going to spend it on. But I agree with you. You know, what we couldn't do with that $28 million here in the community. And so I think it's intriguing. I think the response here on Earth has been really interesting. Yeah. It's not really what I would have expected as a response. And a fair amount of negative publicity, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it was it was an interesting bump.
Right. I appreciate the way you put that. So again, now we're in the part of talk about what you like to. We just talked about Rory's exhibition, and what else is going on in the avenue and that you would like to talk about.
Well, there's so much going on, but I would say the big thing to lift up is the preparations for American Indian Month here in Minnesota, and I think unique in the country. May is American Indian Month here in Minnesota. It was an initiative of Ames back in the day, you know, the American Indian Movement. I think it started with American Indian Week, and through Clyde Belcour and others, other people's advocacy, you know, that got established and then broadened out to a month. And it really is as meaningful as the community is willing to make it. Yeah. Right? And we've really seen, I'm sure you guys have seen, over just maybe the last few years, 5 years, 10, community really invest deeply and hold a number of events. And the big kickoff is May 1st. The community always has a march or a parade, if you want to be a little more polite. Mm-hmm. And that's just a great community gathering point. Lots of youth. We have a community-wide float contest that people really are into. And so that's, you know, hundreds, thousands of people maybe. And then this year, normally it ends at our Minneapolis American Indian Center, which is sort of all brand new. right mm-hmm. now. But this year we then are going east on Franklin Avenue on the American Indian Cultural Corridor and heading to Indian Health Board. And we'll end the march there, the parade there. And then there's some ceremony and celebration about their new facility that mm-hmm. they're just going to build on that incredible campus they've been setting up right there just mm-hmm. east of Hiawatha Avenue.
Yeah, that's exciting. That was that last year too that ended up there? Because I remember seeing the governor, and was that march?
Was that Indigenous Peoples Day? There was a land blessing last year, and I just can't remember if it was in the spring or in the fall. So the land's blessed, the building's designed, funded, and they're ready to move forward. And so there's so much other exciting stuff. I just saw a message from Dr. Anthony Stately come across my socials. And Haley, I don't know if you saw that. I didn't look as close as I should, but it was an important development in their new building on the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
Yeah, I know they're having their groundbreaking ceremony next Friday.
Sure.
I don't know if that's invite only or open to community, but that's exciting news for.
Well, I'm sure you guys would be invited if it was invite only. But it's hard to keep community away from stuff like that. And I'm guessing since it was on Dr. Stately's social media, it's open to the public.
Yeah, so our 200,000 listeners, come on down. Hopefully the inflated colon's up.
No, right. I have a great show photo of me inside the inflated colon, which NAC, the clinic, uses for colon health awareness. But it's really exciting. And I'm really honored to be able to work as part of a new holdings company that's been created to around that building. And so to be something of an owner of that. So Mary Lagarde is on that group. I'm trying to think who else. Yeah. All the stars.
All the people I want to hang out with, but never return my phone calls.
Oh, I hope you're not including me in that group.
No, of course not. Here you are. Giving your free time to us with the great information. Hey, Robert, thank you so much. And I just can't express how grateful I am these past years that you've come on and shared your positivity of what's happening in the community. Really, I just look forward to talking with you.
Yeah, Miigwech, Robert, Miigwech, Haley. It's always a pleasure.
Right on. Hey, up next, Robert. It's the Robert Show. We got Bob Blake from Red Lake talking to the Solar Bear with the Solar News. We'll be right back after this short break.
It'll be a love-in when KFAI brings you Love with Johnny Echols with Baby Lemonade. Live at the Hook and Ladder, Thursday, April 24th.
The late, great Arthur Lee's 60s band, Love, continues to tour with original guitarist Johnny Echols and members of Baby Lemonade, who toured as Love in the 90s and the aughts. Any way you look at it, it's a lot of love. If you want to take a trip back to the 60s, this retro psychedelic band can show you the way. It'll be happening, man.
Tickets for Love with Johnny Echols with Baby Lemonade can be found at the Hook and Ladder's website. Visit thehookmpls.com for more details.
It's for you from KFAI. KFAI presents Eukemia of Little Dragon live at the Fine Line on Friday, April 25th. The celebrated vocalist and co-founder of Little Dragon, Eukemia returns to Minneapolis with her first solo album, For You. It's a personal and relatable work incorporating elements of jazz, soul, electronica, hip-hop, roots, and psychedelia to create something truly unique. Tickets for Eukemia of Little Dragon at the Fine Line can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
Welcome Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! How- I hear Bob Blake. Hey, we have our guest, our friend, Bob Blake from Red Lake, owner of Solar Bear and executive director of the nonprofit Native Sun. Welcome, Robert. Good to see you. And I like your hat, and great to see you.
Yeah. Hey, Robert. You know, the new solar data sheet just came out, and there was installed solar in this country like every 48 seconds. Wow. There are battery manufacturing and solar facilities, manufacturing facilities in 41 states.
Wow.
I say this right now because up at the Capitol, or up in the Capitol in Washington, our politicians are trying to figure out if they should repeal the Inflation Reduction Act and all its great initiatives that and jobs that it's produced in the country. And I'm telling people right now on the radio right now, and the listeners out there to this program, that if our politicians go through with this, these are just that many more jobs that are going to be eliminated from the American economy.
Mm. Yeah. So call your congresspeople and your representatives immediately. This is a red alert.
Because, you know, we've seen recently all the jobs that, you know, are missing because of these tariffs. You know, China canceling orders on like 9,000 planes. I mean, these policies are devastating to this country right now. And if this administration goes through with this, you know, I don't believe that this administration is declaring war on the rest of the world. I think it's declaring war on this country, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's declaring war on the American people, the American worker, and the public.
Absolutely. The oligarchies are not hiding out anymore. They are definitely doing what they said they were going to do in the 2025 manifesto.
Exactly what I'm going to do. And oops, it is devastating right now to the American public. So I just want to point that out, that renewable energy, energy sovereignty, American energy, being energy independent is good for this country, is good for the economy, is good for the American worker. So please, all of you, contact your congresspeople, contact your senators, contact your elected officials, and let them know and let your voice be heard that they cannot repeal the Inflation Reduction Act and all the good things that have come along with this, Robert. It's really important right now.
Absolutely. What else do you got for us, Bob?
Yes. And so, and along the same lines of that, you know, through this data sheet, solar is being used by lots of corporations. Walmart, Target, Home Depot are some of the main corporations that are investing heavily in renewable energy. This is going to continue to happen. Meta, Facebook, you know, those guys, Amazon, you know, Hewlett Packard, all those guys, they're all doubling down on the investments in renewable energy. So I think that's really exciting and really encouraging that there's a lot of private investing that is happening that obviously the Biden administration helps stir.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got to stay vigilant and keeping an eye on things and, you know, listening to your reports about what's happening. Because I know over the years we've talked about so many good things that are happening. And now you just mentioned every 48 seconds, these things that were unimaginable just 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, and another thing is too, Robert, a lot of the court cases that are going up to the Trump administration in regards to this government funding. The courts are siding with the funding. So it's going to be interesting, because we're going to start seeing some of these dollars start flowing into these communities that were waiting for this funding to happen. But still, there are still programs being attacked by this administration, like LIHEAP and other programming. So, you know, we really have to stay vigilant and continue to work with our legislators and our politicians to keep this funding going for the folks that really need it best. I was in just Seattle recently, and I was talking to people from Phoenix, Arizona, and they are scared if the LIHEAP program goes away, how are people going to be able to pay their electricity bills for the air conditioning they'll need this summer? And they said that people will die because mm-hmm. they can't cool their homes, Robert. This is scary. This is real. These are mm-hmm. just regular folks, people, normal human beings that rely on this government assistance, and this administration is attacking it.
Right, exactly. And that's one of many things, but thanks for bringing that up too, because we know with the global warming, how hot are these areas like Phoenix and Texas and these southern states are just, not only is the weather changing, but it's getting hotter and hotter.
Yeah. So I don't know, Robert, I just really feel like I hope that, you know, that cooler heads prevail, and that, you know, that we really take care of, you know, our fellow man, especially in, you know, through climate change. I will be going out to Maine next month at the end of the month. There's been a lot of talk about Maine's governor and how they're going how there's a lot of things going on out there. So I'm pretty excited to go talk at a conference out there in Maine next month. And then also, Robert, I am in a play. And
what? I saw that. What? Tell us about that quick. Oh, my God.
I am playing the uncle in this play for the Minnegeejik Theater Ensemble. It's going to be next month, and I'll send you the information. But it's a wonderful cast, and I'm really super excited to play the dad in this part. I used to do a lot of community theater before, but now I'm getting back into it because I was asked by these two wonderful ladies who run this theater ensemble. But I will get more information on the next time I come back on the show.
So you're playing an uncle?
I am playing Uncle Billy. Yes, I'm playing the dad, Billy. I'm playing the dad, Billy. And I am, it's a rom-com, Native American rom-com. It's going to be at 825 Theater, the 825 Arts Theater on University Avenue. That's my old neighborhood. That's the neighborhood I grew up in, everyone. Yeah, it's really exciting. And it's all Ojibwe cast, which is pretty cool. Written by an Ojibwe woman. And I'm really excited to do the play, and super excited for everybody to come out and check it out.
Well, we're going to have you on a week before that comes up so we can get people out there to watch. That's awesome, Bob. What else can you do? My gosh, you know.
Oh, we've got so many good things coming out. We got a new, and then I'm doing an interview next week with Matthew Holding Eagle for NPR about the conversion of Native Sun and Eighth Fire Solar. So super excited. So look for that, and I'll get you that link when it comes out, Robert.
Is this the Solar Bear?
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting.